Okay, we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to skim over that because really the lesson is in chapter 2. As I went through this and I thought of Jeremiah as a weeping prophet, you know, he had a lot to weep about, but I can relate the church to this too, the falling away from truth, the apostasy that is going on, and we read about it in Thessalonians, we read about it in Timothy, you just see it everywhere. Go to Revelation, the seven churches. Go in every one of those, you'll see they have fallen short of the glory of God. They fell and left their first love, and that's where it all started. It's just a deeper apostasy. It keeps going down, down, down. And when I looked at Jeremiah, his name means Jah will cast forth. And this has a lot to do with Yahweh. And he is God. He is the one, and I wrote down, like, he's here, he will be, he always will be. We have to put our trust in the Lord that gave his life for us. God loved us so much, and he gave us his son. But he didn't just give us new life. He seated us in heavenly places. He's taken us into Canaan land. The same thing, the heavenlies. We're supposed to be enjoying it. But each one of us have to come to the place that we say, what have I done with this? What have I done? Well, God had a prophet, and he used Jeremiah at a young age. And he tells him the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, and it's the portion of Jehovah is his name, of the priests, they were in Anathoth, means affliction and answers, in the land of Benjamin, the son of my right hand, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. And Josiah's name means he will be sustained of Jehovah. The son of Amon, king of Judah, he shall be praised, is Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Okay, he's going to tell Jeremiah, he wants him to go, and here's what he's to say. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, and notice, he has to have the word of what God says to say. And he goes, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. I just said that to my mom yesterday. I said, I don't think any of us pick what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. God knew us when we were in our mother's womb. He knew us before time. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before, and notice all the befores. Before you came forth out of the womb. Before you came out, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And you think about that. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew what he wanted for you. He had Jesus. We don't look for the coming of Jesus to the cross. We look to he's coming for us, his people. And it was, I separated you or ordained you. Ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Then said I. And I think every time God calls somebody, you see kind of these same words. Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I am a child. Now, when I looked at Jeremiah, I was going, I don't want to do Jeremiah. Come on, Lord. I'm going to teach you some things while you're learning this. Then said I, oh, Lord God, I can't speak this. I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send you. And if I send you, you're going to say whatsoever I command you to speak. Why does God have one to speak? Because we should have ears to hear. These aren't just fluffy words to come out. These are the words of God. When God says, speak into the ears of my people, God said, all people will have known. Be not afraid of their faces. And if you've ever got even behind a pulpit or talked to somebody in the midst of a group, don't be afraid of their faces. Yes, fear is not of God. If God said, speak it, just speak it. For I am with you to deliver you. And that doesn't mean that he's going to take him away from everybody. He may still have to say it, but he's going to give him the ability. He'll deliver him in whatever way he sees fit, saith the Lord. Then the Lord puts forth his hand, he touches his mouth, and the Lord said, behold, I put my words in your mouth. That's a beauty to behold right there. He touched him. I think of all the different ones. I think it was in Isaiah when he took the coal of fire and he touched his mouth. It's like his words, fiery words, anointed words. Behold, I put my words in your mouth. And I took you this day and I've set you over nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. What do you think he felt like? If God told you those things for your life, he said, hey, I'm going to use you. You're going to say what I say because you're going to root out, you're going to pull down, you're going to destroy. This was a time of they had left. They were unfaithful to God. This is not a time that was easy. These people are stubborn. They want to do their own thing. They did know, and you're going to see that through the word. But he's called to go, and I want you to go over to chapter 2. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go, cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying. Now, Jerusalem, Judah, all these different ones, they were unfaithful at this time. Thus saith the Lord. Now, I can relate to this on courtships, marriages. I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. He said, I remember that love you had for me. You knew me. You saw what I was doing. What has happened? Why have you gone far from me? Why have you gone away? Why are you unfaithful to God, forsaking God? Israel was holiness unto the Lord. You know, you think back of, if I said take your natural relationships, I remember when you loved me above everything. I remember when there wasn't nothing you would do for me. You see, that is how God was heartfelt towards these people. He loved them. You went after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. That is, they were set apart to the Lord in his holiness. They were the first fruits of his increase. Now, we know that Jesus died, and what is he? The first fruit. What does that mean? There's more to come. We're involved in that. I want every time we hear something right here, I'm telling you, you can relay it again to the New Testament. You can go into the New Covenant, and you'll see, why did he say in Revelation, thou hast left your first love? So when we get in here, and we say these different things like, I knew you when you first started walking with me. You loved me so much. You were just on fire for the Lord. And this and this. And let the Lord speak to your heart. He said, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. You know, they needed to remember the times. Think of the times they were in the wilderness. What about when they applied the blood to the doorpost? Then they're going through the wilderness. We need water. We want meat. We want this. We want. And he was always there. He heard their cry. Why? Because he loved them. He wanted to draw them closer to him and to learn to trust him. I'll be there with you. I am not going to forsake you. These people forsook him. They were unfaithful to the one who done many acts of love for them. You can even read that in Acts. I went over in Acts chapter 7. You can read it there. You can go to Exodus 32, 4 and 5. But hear you the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all the families of the house of Israel. So the Lord is beginning. He said, I'm going to talk to you. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they are gone far from me? What wrong have I done to your fathers? I want you to think, what is it? Do you know? What is it that I've done wrong that they don't, their iniquities, if your fathers found in me, that they're gone far from me? They wandered away from me. They were coming. They heard. And they've walked after something. It's vanity. We're not to get caught up in vanity, emptiness, of no profit. We can have vain imaginations, but we know by the word of God, casting down every thought, imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and are become vain, neither say they. So they've gone far from him. They've walked after vanity. Have they not become vain? Neither did they say, where is the Lord? They're not even saying that anymore. Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? And then, where is he that led us through the wilderness? Where is he? They're not asking. He's the one who took us through a land of deserts and of pits. Now, think of this with our life. Don't you think you'd want to stay close to someone who does that much love for you? He has brought you through every circumstance, every trial you've ever gone through. And they're not calling on him. A lot of God's people, they have left. And I'm not here to put them down. There is a need there. And I believe God's love, he's drawing them back. Somehow, some way, he's calling them and he's talking to them. He's going to use anything and every circumstance he can because he loves them and he wants them to come and be ready for the soon coming of the Lord. He brought us to a land of drought, out of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt. Has he not done all these things? I brought you into, and I love this, I brought you into a plentiful country. He brought us into high places. He brought us in so we could eat the corn, the oil, the resurrection, the life, the power of the Holy Spirit, everything leading and guiding us into all the truths that we have when we take our place in the heavenlies. He said, I brought them in there. I brought them into Canaan. Why? To eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. He wanted them to partake in it. And when you entered, did you? The Lord says, here's what you did. You defiled my land. What an awful testimony. You defiled my land and you made my heritage an abomination. You can go in Romans chapter 1, 2, 3. Go in there and read. They knew God. And when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They wanted to glorify. They wanted to do everything for the creature, not the creator. They were looking towards themselves, their vain imaginations. They were looking towards the flesh, things that defile. But these people, you defiled my land. You worship other gods. There was sexual immorality. You turned to idols instead of the one true God. This has not changed. God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. God is not going to change. It is man that has changed. He doesn't want to hear what God says. Why? Because it convicts him. It gets down to the heart. But the reason why they don't want to turn to God is they think they have to change the flesh. And they don't. All they have to do is believe that Jesus died, took their place, and now they were raised. And get it, it's a spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have Christ living in you, a new life. He knew you needed that life. so you could overcome. He gave you the power of the Holy Spirit to know His word and to be able to walk in the way you should walk. He knows you don't have any ability on your own. Even when you're born again, you're so rich and you don't even know it. Do you think a baby Christian can come up and just say, well, I'm going to overcome this and overcome that? No, it takes time to grow. That's what I love about communion. I think it was Norm Lucan taught us in our class. Tarry one for another. Tarry. And I don't think it's just taking communion. This is a oneness with Christ. Tarry. There were some that were so rich and they didn't care about the poor. Hey, I'm growing. Who cares about the rest of the people? No, we need to be humble. Be very contrite in our spirit and know that everyone wants to know Him in a better way. He said, you defiled my land. So they were steeped in idolatry and worshiping. I mean, you can go back to the golden calf. But He said, you defiled my land. You made my heritage an abomination. Even this things that are going on in our world today, what did He call it? Sexual immorality. He called it an abomination. Trust me, speak this word. Not what you think. When I say these words, they shut up. They can't fight against it. Some will go on in their conversation, yeah, but what if? Yeah, but what if? But what if? It's not going to change what God says. God said it, I believe it, that's it, done. The priest in that time said not. They weren't saying, where's the Lord? Okay, take even today. Are the priests calling really on the true one and only God? Or are they kind of taking a place that's not really theirs? That's fallen away. That's apostasy. Fallen away from truth. The priest said not, where's the Lord? They that handle the law, they didn't know me. You know, even the rulers of the land, they didn't know Him. What about the rulers of our land? Are there God, holy people that are governing our land today? Think about it. It's because I know they have heard because God said all men will have known. They can look out at creation and then look at whatever man you want and say, did He create this? Did He form me and my mother's womb? Who are we looking to and for what? The pastors, they even transgressed against me. The prophets, they prophesied by Baal. This was the Canaanite Phoenician gods, who really were not gods. They prophesied by Baal, and they walked after things that do not profit. What does He tell us? If you be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. At my right hand are pleasures forevermore. But we need to seek and find out, what are those pleasures? Don't let my heart be that I was too busy seeking the pleasures of this life that I never had time to seek the pleasures at His right hand forevermore. Doesn't mean you can't have and enjoy the world. Go out there and enjoy, do what, you know, what you feel comfortable with. But don't put it before Him. First love. Wherefore I will plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. And I believe that means God has got to judge this righteously. And He's telling them, look how far it's gone. It has gone from with your children's children. This is really moving on. Look at today, the darkness, moms and dads who have had children not leading their children in the way God has told them to do it. What's happening? Whatever mommy, daddy has shown them, this is what they're walking in. This is all they know. This is all they know. But God, who is so rich in mercy, He'll make sure that little one will have known. I believe that. He may use grandma. He may use another. I know children who never went to church because moms and dads never took them. Mine made the excuse, well, she made us go. Well, that's too bad that you didn't have the love that you wanted to go, but I had a responsibility, and I didn't do it in hate. I said, this is a good thing that we go to church, that we gather ourselves together, that you can grow up in Jesus to know truth, because deception is coming. How many of your children know deception is coming? They're deceiving and being deceived everywhere. And I tell you, without the Lord, we can be deceived. We're just going to take the power of the Holy Spirit, opening your eyes for you to see deception in the way it's coming in. Because I've never seen deception just, you know, it used to just sneak and creep. Now it's coming in a wide open face, and nobody even acknowledges it now. They really don't. For pass over the isles of Jedim and see. Send unto Kedar. Consider diligently. See if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods? Which really are no gods. Remember, even Paul said that in the New Testament. Galatians. Who has come in and bewitched you? Oh, foolish Galatians. Come on now. You knew the truth. Who came in here and said this to you? They're not gods. He said, if somebody preach another gospel, which there is no other gospel, and everybody's going to tell you, well, how do you know you got the truth? Because I'm learning to know Jesus. He is the truth. And he's the only truth there is. My people have changed their glory for that which does not even profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. Here we go. My people. I love those words. I remember them from Bible college. Come out of her, my people. My people have committed two evils. Now, I want us to think back one more time. In the very beginning of this, oh, I remember how you loved me so much. What has changed your mind? Now my people have committed two evils. What is it? They have forsaken me. Forsaken me. The fountain of living waters. And instead of having me, and living waters, here's what else they did. They hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. It should satisfy. It should be there. We have a fountain of living waters. And I looked this up, and it was the artesian well. And some of it was a little deep for me, but it did say that because of the pressure of the rocks, it just brought that water, just bringing it up. And it's always there, springing up. And I heard that song, I Got a Well, I Got a Rivers of Water. And it was like flowing. It's coming out of me. I didn't have to work it up. When you're in love with something, you're talking about it. You love him. That's what you want. And those who want him, they're not going to like you. They don't want to hear you babbling on because that's what they think it is. And then there'll be growth in that, and the Lord will tell you, okay, don't say nothing. Just don't even say nothing to them. They don't want to hear that. Just walk it. They still don't want to hear it because they're still going to separate from you. But that's okay. That's a blessing in disguise. Okay, so we keep going. It says they had broken cisterns. And I wrote down, when you forsook the fountain of the Lord, the living waters, you're going to false hopes. False hope. There is no hope in those things. You're being deceived. You think it's hope. You think it's fun. You think it's peace. You think it's joy. It's false. It's lies from the devil trying to deceive you because maybe your heart is being awakened. Maybe you're wanting to come God's way. The adversary in his deception will come in and say, oh, you know, that's not it. Yes, it is it. You can look these up yourself, but John 7:37 and Luke 12:33. If you have hewn out rocks, and that's a lot of your own self-works, do you know that water, if you smell it, it really doesn't have a good smell? And it has to be purified to really bring forth to where you can drink it and enjoy it. And when there become cracks in the walls, it goes dry. Nothing there to satisfy. Ugh, I gotta keep going. Hold on just a minute. Okay. All right, the broken cisterns that can't hold no water. And then he's got a question for him. Is Israel a servant? Question. Is he a homeborn slave? Question. Why is he spoiled? Question. Exodus 4:22, and I'm going to read that one. Exodus 4:22 says, oh, I wrote down the wrong one. Oh, that you say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Yeah. And thou shalt say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he can serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I am going to slay thy son, even your firstborn. I love it. They were God's people. We are his. We are his. What have we done with what we have? You can go in and read about the faithful servant, the unfaithful. Then you go in and he says, the young lions roared upon him, yelled, they made his land waste. His cities were burned without inhabitant. The children of Naph and Tophanes have broken the crown of your head. Hast thou not procured this unto yourself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord your God when he led you by the way? Question mark. Have you not brought this upon yourself? When people say, but I like this. Well, what has it done for you then? Is it really bringing forth goodness to your life? Now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt? God said, I told you, don't go in the way of Egypt. Now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, or to drink the waters of Sihor? And what hast thou to do with the way of Assyria, and to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness. I mean, God just says it the way it is. It may be a prophet speaking, but remember, they don't glory in the prophet. They're hearing from what God said. Your own wickedness shall correct you, and thy backsliding shall reprove you. Have you ever done something and you were like, oh, I just hate the results of this? He didn't have to say anything. You got corrected just by the results of the thing. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that you have forsaken the Lord your God. If you listen to those gods, you will be reproved and be corrected. You're going to see it by your own life and the results. You have forsaken the Lord your God, that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. And that's, we need to reverence him. Lord, what would thou have me to do? For of old time I broken your yoke, I burst your bands, and thou said, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree you have wandered and you've been playing a harlot. Oh, I'm not going to transgress. That don't look too pretty. Yet I planted thee, and I love this. I planted thee a noble vine. noble. That's a high up. That's a royal. Holy, it was a right seed. How then are you turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Remember wild grapes? What about strange fire, the worship? For though thou wash thee with nitre, and ye take a lot of soap, okay? Say, I'm cleaning this up. And that's what people do. They try to clean up the old man. You take your soap. Yeah, your iniquity, it's marked before me. You're not going to get it out. You can't get rid of it. It's only through the blood of the Lamb. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. What you're looking for, you'll find it in Jesus. How can you say, I'm not polluted and have gone after Balaam? Seeing the way in the valley, know what thou hast done. You'll see it. Know what you have done. Thou art a swift dromedary traveling her ways. And she's just going wherever. You know, she's just going wherever. Wandering. A wild ass used in the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. And I could go into this. I just would tell you, go in and look up the wild ass. And just look up about the wild ass. Because you'll see where the male's urine and different things. That's what they're going to smell after. And they're going to go crazy after it. But you study that for yourself. Withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But thou saidest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. As a thief is ashamed when he's found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They and their kings and their princes and their priests and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, to a stone, thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, you ever see this happen? But in the time of their trouble, they're going to say, arise, save us. Where are your gods? Remember Elijah said the same thing. Well, where's your gods? Come on. Can't you call down the fire from heaven? Where are your gods that you have made thee? You made them, those things that you're worshiping and you're in love with. Let them arise if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods. And as I looked at this, it's like, I just kept thinking about if everyone would just look and say, you know what? Lord, you have brought us to this wonderful place. Thank you, we can know the gospel. We can go into the very beginning, the need of the gospel, and why Paul made sure that we knew these things. He also said there in the very beginning, there were those who knew him and still didn't listen. Have you ever done that? I've known, and I didn't listen. I stopped my ears, or I became stiff-necked, rebellious. Oh, no, we don't want to say that in front of Christian people. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. When you want things your own way, we want, as the artesian well, that water flows freely from that vessel. Freely. And I believe that's where God, he's got to change hearts. And that's why he said, you left me. You left your first love. What are you looking to? And he goes, well, they were much married to the world and the ways of the world. Now they're bringing it into the church. And oh, God forbid if you tell them, why you guys do that? I mean, they've got coffee shops. I just don't know why they can't drink it at home. Why are you gonna bring it to church? You know, they're giving out coffee cards if you come to church. I can tell you the church, they'll give you one of those. I told Gene, I said, aren't you gonna give us some for coming to church? We are already got something. We don't have to be rewarded to go to church. Our reward is Jesus and what he has done. And to be able to be with the saints and say, well, I see her growing. I see him growing. You can see changes of the glory of God in his saints, if you really want to see it. I believe God lets you see those things. And that dove knows why it's happening. His bride is far-seeing. She sees beyond this trial. She sees beyond these things. There's something greater awaiting. She has keen vision, very good vision, and so does an eagle. And I think we'll just stop there, but I think, boy, Jeremiah, you got your plate full, and you got to go in and talk to them. Pastors today have that too, because they have to lead his sheep and tell them, this is the way to go. Walk you in it, in him. Let's all stand.